Okay, so it's on.
Okay, so I can tell you what it says, mm-hmm. but it has some more general statement, but we don't need it.
Okay.
It's enough for those particular angle forms that we need to integrate.
Okay.
And I'll try to tell you what I understand from the proof and,
yep.
and what I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know how I called it last time, but we take this configuration space of n different points in a plane, say in a complex plane, and then we model by translations and rescalings. Did this space have any name? I don't know.
CN, I think.
Was
it?
Okay, so let's call it CN. So those are some configurations. Endpoints. And there was some compactification, which is not important now. We don't need. And so the thing is now we're going to build some differential form on this stuff, which is going to be just wedge product of angle forms. Nothing more. Only wedge product of different angle forms. Say we have our endpoints. We just number them. Okay. Then we choose, say, some edges. You know, we can draw it like between. We draw some vertical graph. Doesn't matter. And then you write this expression, wedge over all those ij in the set of edges. So we just it's going to be some subset in all pairs. And of those d, phi, ij, maybe I should write divided by 2. That's in the right. And the statement is, so now suppose that, so what is it? E is a subset of all pairs, and I don't know how to write it, something like n, 2 of the pairs, whatever is your favorite notation for unordered pairs. Or something like that. Just some graph with no repeated edges. Depends on the ordering, but in the end, we also suppose that the number of elements of E we want it to be dimension of Cn, just because we're going to integrate it over Cn. This is the only reason I want it. And now the statement is that this stuff. Stuff here is equal to the first of all that it converges. If there is ever any problem with convergence, there is none here, so it absolutely converges. And plus, there is one more thing: is that actually it's almost always zero. So this is equal to zero unless. There are two S's or there are two S's?
No. Yes, yes, two S's, yes.
Unless what? Unless N equal to 2.
And E is equal to 1.
And to E equal to containing just 1. Right? In which case this Cn is just a circle. And we're integrating just d phi over circle, and we're getting something, then we're getting one. statement? And so, how to prove it?
No. Mm-hmm. Let's verify another case. Okay? Just for fun.
But you do it.
I don't know if I do it. I mean, but let's do the next case just to see if we understand.
Okay.
So you have.
Now we need to take 3 points.
Three points. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm naughty. The configuration space now is one three-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Do we agree on that? Because you see, the first point, well, we have translation, so we put this one at zero. We put this one at distance one from it, but it could be anywhere on the circle, and then this one can be wherever it wants. So it's a circle cross R2. So, okay. So in fact, C3 is equal to
not quite,
because
it's a subset.
It's more or less, it's contained in a circle cross R2, but with some points excluded because we're not allowing this point to be on top of that point. So in fact, we can probably work out. We're also not allowing it to be on. Basically, we're not allowing any further coincidences. We could conceivably work out what the rest is. Okay.
You almost did it.
Yeah. Okay. Now we need a degree 3 form.
Yes.
So there is only one way to get it, and it's this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, just for fun, you see, since we had only one way to get it, I'm wondering what happens when we do C4. So when we do C4, we have 3 points. The configuration space is 5-dimensional. Basically, 2 for each point and 3 for the symmetry, minus 3 for the symmetry. So now we have to put 5 lines here, and there are 5 edges. Out of 6 potential edges, so here we actually, here we actually have choice, but all choices are equivalent. It's this. You omit one, and all one omissions are the same. So in fact, it's still just a single theorem. Okay, let's do. But in general, it's clear by the same sort of logic that. The number of edges we will have to put will be linear in the number of points. In fact, roughly twice the number of points, so twice the number of points minus 3. Okay? And if we have n points, so this is n, we have 2n minus 3 edges to choose, and we have to choose them from among n choose 2 potential edges. So that's quadratic in n, that's linear in n, many, many, many choices. Okay? So so the theorem has content. It has an increasing amount of content. Anyway, back to this. So now you're claiming that the integral of this is 0. Do you know why it's true?
If you pass through the proof, I think that this would be. Because the first thing is you get rid of S1 in the proof, just integrate over S1. There is only one of these d5s.
Yes.
The other, some of this end to the pullbacks of things which from R2 or from C, so to say.
Yeah.
And then you're left with some particular two form on plane with some singularities. And you need to there are, okay, we can look at those expressions and see what's happening. That's the best I can say. But you can try. You're welcome.
It might, you know, it's a useful exercise.
It's like that. If you do this, so we first integrate over this first one, but in that way we just get rid of this stuff. So
yes.
Now we mentioned that this is zero, this is some whatever one.
Yes.
In C, and only this point now moves.
Right.
And we integrate this d5, watch this
so,
d5.
So basically.
So that's kind of strange integral. Huh?
Right. So you have two fixed points, and you know, let's fix them by putting crosses on them,
mm-hmm.
and then one moving point.
Mm-hmm.
And we're integrating.
Maybe there's some symmetry argument here in this particular case.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree about the maybe, but I wonder what it is.
I don't know.
And we're integrating over the position of this point, d of the angle to this times d of the angle to that.
So maybe I can tell you the trick.
You know how to continue.
There's this general proof, and the general proof first thing is a trick.
So let's take a picture, if you don't mind, and then tell us the trick, if you don't mind. Okay, picture taken.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is that, like, what we did is we first integrate the first circle, meaning
mm-hmm.
that in our graph, we have points or whatever those
mm-hmm.
edges are, we just choose one of those edges, so we pick two points so that there is an edge between them, and then we just say that we say that this point is zero, we move it to zero because that we're allowed to. Now we can say that this one is a distance one.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But then what we can do is we can now integrate over all possible positions of this point by turning everything around.
Mm-hmm.
Turn everything around. So this will give us an integral of this particular angle, which is going to be 1 because it's d5 over 2 pi. And all these things, there are also those d5, whatever. Maybe some rj, d5. RJ, and that's something that doesn't change when turning like that. But it's something that in fact descends to this new configuration space where these two points are just fixed. So the first thing is to integrate over one circle.
Yes.
So now we suppose that one point is at zero, one point is at one. There is no more edge between these two. There are only some other points. You integrate over all possible positions of these other points. And there are some edges, whatever they are, maybe there might be edge like that, an edge like that, and an edge like this. Whatever. So that the total number corresponds to, there are n minus 2, there are n minus 2, 3 points. I saw it in Osmary's calculation. So there are n minus 2 points that move. So the dimension of the space is 2 times n minus 2, the space over which you integrate. So this should be the number of edges.
Mm-hmm.
Remaining edges.
Yes. Yes. So this one is not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are integrating something. Still the thing is looks like integral of product of things like b pi ij over 2 pi over some pairs. Now, what you can say, well, it's not very surprising that d pi ij is actually the imaginary part of d log z I minus z j. Where z I and z j are the positions as complex numbers. And so what's written here is some 1 over 2 pi or something.
Since you're trying to prove that something is zero, it really doesn't matter that 2 pi is equal to 1, can be made equal to 1. So.
You're right. Okay. So with this guy here, that's something like, so let's, for this imaginary part, let's write there something like this minus complex conjugate divided by I or something. So there is also maybe 2 by I here now, which is again equal to 1. And so the thing is like d log z I minus j minus, so it's a wedge over I j minus the same thing but complex conjugate. And now, this is a holomorphic form. It's an anti-holomorphic form. So we don't care about coefficients of this form. This is something times dz and this something at dz bar. That's the only thing that matters. And now it's a top degree form. And so the only way how to get a top degree form is that when we expand this, we use exactly as many holomorphic as anti-holomorphic things in this expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And just concentrate on the differential form. So we don't really have to care about integral, so I can erase the integral even. So it doesn't, that's not necessary. So that is equal to this. And that, so this is equal to whatever. So we expand it. The thing is that we need to use half of those forms that you use must be holomorphic, and half of them must be anti-holomorphic. So roughly speaking, there is some holomorphic form to wedge to some power k, and anti-holomorphic for again, but with the same number. Just not there is nothing. But the thing is that if you take
with the same number with k equals n minus 2.
Yes, so k equal n minus 2. Or k and k equal to n minus 2 because yes.
Mm-hmm.
But now. Let's take the same expression, so too, but with the real part. So let's take something like exactly the same thing as written here. Okay, but I write there. Okay, there's 1 over 2 pi, constant, times d log now the absolute. So this guy is the real part of the we can write the real part. So that's going to be one of the two cards something the top. And now wedge of J. And roughly the same thing, which is with plus. J plus log ZI minus J. What would be complex J. And see, now again we can expand this. And again, just by the same. For the same reason, we need to pick up K holomorphic and K anti-holomorphic things. But the result is that actually this is modulo something like power of I, which is probably actually equal to 1 again, so that they are really equal, but let's forget it because it's not important. So modulo maybe some minuses and maybe some I's. Simply this form is equal to that form. Just equal as forms. Only form, right? So we conclude now that this wedge over ij and e and this d phi ij is simply equal to wedge over ij and e of d log for those distances. Z I minus h. There's a trick. Surprising, elementary, and that's it. And now the rest of the work is going to show that the integral of this is equal to zero.
And why is that so?
Roughly speaking.
Again, even in the dimension, even this example that I started looking at,
so
I don't see.
Certainly, what we can do is that this is D of somebody. Right, so these are, but let me write, say, R ij is equal to zi minus j.
Yes.
So this guy is something like d of, and we can now take out one of those logs.
Yes.
So log to the r i1 i2, something like that. See? And times now wedge over those ij in e minus i1 i2, which is j, I want to write j, i1 j1, something like this. We just throw out one of the edges and write in this d log so far, so good. This is true. But now, so there's some fine part where one needs to do some work. And conservation left it as a homework, and I didn't do the homework. I'm sorry. So the thing is, basically, you see there are some singularities here. There certainly are, but so what one does first. Probably. Is that
I'm looking back and I think I knew all of this but completely forgot. And this is the part that's actually not so trivial. I mean, it's something about it's some algebraic geometry or complex analytic geometry statement.
The first part which is not trivial even in this simple case maybe, but there is something, at least it's relatively concrete, and one can look up somewhere how to do it exactly.
Yeah.
Because in principle, there's some in his general statement, which I didn't say here, one uses some of the resolution singularities, and that's just too much. Right? This is Hironaka theorem, it's, for me, it's.
Yes. No, I.
But here, so what we have here? Here we have this. Where are we integrating? We are integrating over configuration space of. What we have? So we have n points, but two of them are fixed to be 0 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the others are moving around,
mm-hmm.
But we have constraints that they should never they should never collide.
Yeah, but that's sort of irrelevant.
Otherwise, well, when they collide, this worm actually blows up, right? So this is not well defined.
Yes.
So the first thing to do is, so we can say let's include it into bigger and much easier algebra, whatever variety. We just allow those points to collide. But then that's somehow very easy, right? The configuration space is now, what is it? It's just C power n minus 2. Just that, right? There are only those
yes.
n running points, not nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's probably not so easy to control this form, so what's going on. So in place of that you pass to, there is some, how is it called? Like there is this space of stable rational curves or things like that. So basically, the thing is that now this the part, how is it? So we have C power n, and inside we have this new configuration space.
Cn, you mean Cn minus 2.
Yes, right. We have this new configuration space without any name. So there is this whatever 0, 1, and the others.
Yes.
Those running points. It's an open subset with a dense open subset something.
Mm-hmm.
But the part which is not here is not, in a way, not nice enough. It's not a normal crossing or something. So it's not just a hypersurfaces, smooth hypersurfaces that intersect always transversally. And if when there are several of them intersecting, that they should always intersect like that. Nice transversal. So probably the first thing to do is that one is to do whatever some blow-ups or whatever. There's some sequence of moves how to pass from this to something slightly bigger, so that now the what remains is really just union of hypersurfaces that form whatever the normal crossing. We can certainly look at this your example, because there we don't have to blow up anything. It's going to be just fine when there is only one point. There we don't have to care about it. So this is the first thing. Maybe it's not terribly important, I don't know, but it certainly makes sense this. And then the thing is that we have here our differential form. It's a differential form which diverges at the at this boundary or something. But so basically, what one needs to see that one needs to see some estimate that it doesn't matter, that somehow it's still well defined, as say as Durham current or something like that. That as a distribution of differential form, it's perfectly well defined, because we're integrating some functions which don't increase too fast. So there is no problem with the integration. I'll try to write it in coordinates, and let's check just one simple example whether it works. Basically your example that you this with one point.
But maybe just complete the proof on faith level.
Oh, but okay. So if everything works,
yes,
then we're integrating d of something over something which is closed.
Ah, so that's the point.
That's the point. That's the only thing. Just that it's d of somebody who is not exactly a smooth form, but But the statement is that the singularities are mild, that still, like the integral makes sense.
Okay, so, okay.
So really, like, it's supposed to be just Stokes' theorem, modulo the fact that there are some singularities, but they're kind of logarithmic. Well, it's not. Well, here it is logarithmic, but that's certainly very fine. It's very nice to integrate logarithm. But here there is d log, so that's already something like 1 over x. And integrating some things like dx over x is not always very good, but it's then. Well, I'll try to show you one example and then we'll see what it is.
Okay, should I take another picture?
Sure.
Done. Okay.
We'll just try this example when there were those two points, when there are 3 points, and there's only 1 point that is moving. How is it developed here? Zero, one, there is one particle point Z, and the will our differential form is something like
D log absolute value of V of Z.
Yeah, so it's D log absolute value of Z, which D log absolute value of 1 minus z, say.
Yes.
Or if you wish to, if you on d.
So it's absolute value of z, yeah, log z,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Z was, or maybe I can put it this way.
Yeah, so this is too obvious. Because, I mean, it's because, right, the boundary of configuration space is, I mean, you know, you can exclude a small neighborhood of this and a small neighborhood of this and take the neighborhood to zero. Z cannot, so then you just need to integrate this on this circle and on that circle.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, on this circle, only this is singular. This is not singular. There is no worry about it. And you get, well, log z times z, because the sign, log of epsilon times epsilon, because if epsilon is the radius, but log of epsilon times epsilon, but epsilon goes to zero faster than log of epsilon goes to infinity, so you're done. But that's, and likewise on the other end. But that's because.
But this is somehow.
This is too special.
No, it is not too special. This is supposed to be somehow exactly what's happening all the time.
So let's look for a worse example. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, the problem with this is that somehow. The boundary. On the boundary. You had only one singularity.
Okay.
So let's think if we can arrange so that there would be two singularities on the boundary. Okay, so it would have to be a more complicated graph.
Yeah, so you have to put more edges going to
right
into your
So, one edge no, wait, I mean, sorry, even here we've explained why there is no problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when I was trying to do this calculation, it was slightly more subtle.
Yeah, not why there is no problem here. Because here you have, so you know what, so here we have d of log 1 minus z, which is 1 over 1 minus z, integrated near 1, Yeah, no, sorry. I'm already confused with. Maybe just so that it's a bit less confusing, let's do this and put the D here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now
this one is easy, and around here we have
The thing is that it's supposed to be a well-defined distribution of form. It's a well-defined drum current, such that this is really easy. So what one can certainly check is that this behaves well, that it's integrable close to those two points. It's not entirely obvious. I don't know. Because this thing, if you write it something like dr over r, and times this step is d of something, which is so
it's times a nearly constant function. So I mean, in fact, you're integrating it. The boundary of your domain of integration.
You can imagine now basically time which dx or which d something dy. Roughly speaking.
Why wedge dy? Oh, for the...
Sorry, it's behind me. Right,
yes.
So
you're doing the top one. Yes.
What am I... No, this is nonsense. What did I write here? If it's close to here, then
it's actually wedge dx.
Yes, roughly speaking. Just to make an estimate.
Yes.
Now, just to see that this two form is well-behaved, that is integrable. This guy is something like it's x dx plus y dy over x squared plus y squared and the 1/2. So that's what's written here. And wedge dx. So this goes away. So what remains is something like y dy dx over x squared plus y squared, which you can divide in the minus dx which d of y squared divided by x squared plus y squared. And then we need to, yes, it's not terribly obvious, then we probably need to integrate just to see that the stuff over here is an integrable function. So here we have coordinates x and y squared. Of course, so just, no, it's not. Sorry, I don't know. I got lost. I didn't do the homework right.
Yeah, no, okay.
Yeah, I didn't remember. But, anyway, so someone's statement is that those things are well defined as drum currents, meaning that if you multiply it by some other differential form so that you get a top form and you form the integral, that it's well defined, that you integrate some very integrable top form, so with integrable coefficients. And that d is just this drunk distribution of d is just the ordinary d, because there are no jumps, so to say. It's safe to take this. But this, I don't know, I didn't check it. So I told you it would be embarrassing.
No, it's okay.
So this part, this is what the estimates part, I didn't look at it and I didn't know. He basically says there's something that it doesn't matter. You can take actually arbitrary form, which is there's arbitrary number of logs, arbitrary number of d logs, and that it's a well-defined form with distribution of coefficients, meaning the drum current, and the taking d is just ordinary taking d. Somehow you take d of those logs.
Aren't we all Monkey is following the leader. The leader being Kontsievich.
Cool.
I mean, it looks arbitrary, right? The proof. Sort of. D5IJ was topological. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Somehow pullback of a volume form of a circle. Okay? I don't know. And then we switched to analysis.
Yes.
And used an incredible coincidence and then a bunch of estimates. So I can imagine that Kontsievich, being a maestro of math Olympiads, sort of that was the first argument he thought of, but it doesn't mean that it's the best argument. Sorry.
But I think it took him something like 10 years to come to this.
No, I mean, this is a small part of his... do you think this is what's held him for 10 years?
Maybe not quite, but it's probably... important part. I mean, he knew this, whatever this vanishing thing, but in higher dimensions. Certainly a long, or maybe not 10 years before, but this. But he certainly.
You think the vanishing thing is what is held him for a length of time, as opposed to all the other.
I'm not sure. But he did not write about vanishing of this stuff when he was writing that long paper about Feynman diagrams and topology. So there is a mention only
because it's not relevant. I mean, this is first written in the paper on quantization of Poisson structures, and that's the first place where it's relevant.
Yeah, I don't know, but certainly. In this, because just to maybe remind you that in that paper with Thomas Bilacher, we were actually not at all trying to show that something is a dreamful associator, or just happened. But the thing is that we were trying to compare approach of conservation, approach of Tamarkin,
yes,
to some, what one would say, to deformation quantization, but only to some small part where we could compare it easily to formality of Little Disc Operat.
Yeah,
and he was certainly interested in formality of Little Disc Operat long before, and so, I don't know, I think if he knew that it still worked, then he would have known it long before.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but you should ask him.
Okay. We're having a sort of very meta-mathematical, psychological discussion, historical, I don't know.
But I told you that this, for me, this statement is kind of a miracle, because the proof is kind of a miracle.
Okay.
Well, the estimate is probably something that, it's certainly something that has to be done, so it's not obvious. But let's say estimate, at least it's clear what to do. But the first trip, like, it's just from passing from this product of d5s to product of d logs of distances, just the statement, this is equal to that, not as integral, but really as differential form. That's about as easy as it gets, right? I mean, the proof is really completely elementary and immediate. But still, it's not very expected.
Okay.
Those D logs, they're not quite irrelevant to this story. Maybe because. How to say? Maybe it's somewhat too speculating or something. But in this Kinzig Zamolchikov connection, we have exactly those PIJs, and then there is D log.
Yes.
And that I minus H.
Yes.
And that's already flat as it stands.
Yes.
And one can say that we were trying to get rid of the singular part, basically, of the log of distances, that we're only trying to keep the imaginary part.
Yes.
That we pass to this Tij, now the, whatever, maybe I should write my name, something like that. The Ij. And this is only flat when we pass to cohomology class, so somehow this is not a flat connection. It is true that it is closed, and when you only pass to cohomology, I mean, this is in the same cohomology class as that. Because the difference between this and that is d log of distance, so it's just d of some function.
Yes.
But it's not flat on the nose, just this connection is not flat. And so there is some way how to add all this other stuff that contain now all kinds of commutators of those Tijs, and that contain now those D5Is, which are also integrated over something. But so here we do have those D-logs of distances, here we don't have them, and there is probably some comparison between them, so I just feel that those D-logs of distances are important for small from passing between from this to that. So it's maybe not completely strange that they do appear secretly. We kill them completely, but then they come again through window, in the form of the proof of this lemma. But okay, it's not very scientific what I said, but at least that's my feeling.
Okay.
But certainly, there are many people asking about this question. So why? This is so strange. Why we don't choose just arbitrary volume form on circle, or maybe even volume form on circle? What's happening then? And but so far I don't know what the results are. So that, there are some papers that I don't understand dealing with this.
So again, just let's just for fun, or not for fun, for misery, let's go back to this case.
Okay.
Surely there is at least in this case a one-line proof that the integral vanishes. So, for example, perhaps it's symmetric under Z goes to Z conjugate. I mean, anti-symmetric or something. I would think it's something at that level.
But it doesn't look like that. Because I mean, there are two angles, and if you do this flip, then both of them change the sign, and in the end, it's just symmetric under this. Like,
the second thing, and that's also the last. Well, maybe not the last. Okay, maybe flip under this. Then the two angles change their roles. Am I right? They simply change their roles. Or let's see. So okay, here is the midline. Here is one point, here's another. So this is one thing, and the other thing is this.
Mm-hmm.
So right. One angle was I'm getting mixed up with the colors. So we have this and this. It doesn't matter where we measure the angle from, right? So let's do it the easy way. And we want to compare it with this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it looks like just the angle switched the role.
So for white, we get d1, d2. For green, we simply get d2, d1. Yeah, the angle just switch the roles. So that's a symmetry that kills it.
Isn't there some problem with orientation somewhere?
No, that, I think that's...
And orientation of the plane, that we should choose orientation of the plane.
No, take. Take the function, I mean, okay, so we have this form, phi 1 wedge phi 2, this two angle, okay? Let S be the symmetry. It's an orientation reversing symmetry. I don't think anybody care. I don't think I care because the integral, or do I care? Maybe I do. Sorry. The integral of S pullback of this Yeah, no, you're right.
But I'm not
it's
sure
negative, the integral of... on one hand, it's equal to the negative, the integral of phi 1 wedge phi 2. Because S is orientation reversing. On the other hand, this is the integral of phi 2 wedge phi 1, as we've just checked, which is again the negative, so we didn't deduce anything. So, okay, experiment number 2 failed.
But it almost succeeded.
Well, what do you mean?
After sign.
But... come on. You know, if these two things, if this is zero, there has to be a grade one reason why.
But wasn't this first, actually, so this reversal of orientation?
Sorry?
Maybe I didn't think about this change of orientation when you did this first way.
Ah! Yeah, okay. Yes.
Or what?
Okay.
I don't understand anything now. Sorry.
Sorry. At least one of the two will work.
Yes, seems like.
Right, because one... at least one of the two will work. Yeah. Well, it would be nice to see what is the first integral. Okay, so we have two, right, your integrals, yours, Concievich's, sorry, I'm not blaming you for anything. Concievich's integrals seem to always be, well, they are always symmetric under these two things.
Or maybe not under the...
Or anti-symmetric, sorry.
Yeah, but they're not necessarily symmetric under this, because there might be edges which come to one of those, but maybe there are... Like, there might be m edges coming to zero, but only m edges coming to one, or something like that. It's not excluded.
Yeah, okay. So they're only symmetric under this. So what would be the first Concievich integral that is not killed simply by this symmetry? So presumably it's an even odd thing. So presumably half the integrals get killed. But let's find the first. So presumably the next one will not be killed. So what is the next one? You have two points, so it's four-dimensional. I have to put four lines. These have to be this, 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 and that.
Same.
I mean, I think all other choices are equivalent.
Same.
Because we've been there.
But it's kind of strange now.
What is kind of strange?
Or maybe nothing. Okay.
So now let's flip this. Three, four.
Yeah. But it doesn't change the orientation because there are.
Two point flip their position. So that's
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
yeah. So it doesn't change the orientation.
So it's not, as you said. It's this that for odd number of points it gives zero. Just this argument, but for even number of points it's not.
So that
zero.
Sounds suspicious. I mean, because it's somehow too easy to get rid of half the things. And Concievich would have noted this. Or maybe he does. And he would have stated it. I'm just, this is again psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. So the thing to count is... Well, it's vertices plus edges, so it's because, right, we have a minus sign for each vertex and a minus sign for each vertex. So this is even here. So we get nothing. Right. So why does this vanish?
Because of Stokes' theorem. He says.
Because Concievich says.
someone would be very glad if you could come up with some better reason for vanishing of those integrals, or some better understanding.
I don't know.
But certainly, I have absolutely no idea.
I don't know if I can come with a better reason. I'm only insisting that one is required. I mean, maybe somebody else will come. I mean, you know.
Did you say other people would look for a better reason, or?
I think they were at least trying to see what happens if you use a different volume form on a circle. There's some paper by Merkel about whatever the unfilled theories or something. Just quite incomprehensible paper.
We have experience with Merkulov papers.
It's a typical Merkulov paper.
Okay, maybe, I don't know. But I quite didn't understand what finally the statement was in that paper. So.
I would start looking for vector fields that preserve this form. Flows that preserve this form. And maybe that's what at the end this amounts to. But somehow, if you find a flow that preserves this this form, and use it to flow to and flow to infinity or something, then you'd flow to some fixed configurations, or you know, you'd. Now there are tools to play with. Sorry, this is only because I have limited imagination. The most recent time I had to prove that two integrals were equal, it was by doing this, by finding a flow. So, so in fact, it's not something that I did, the most recent time I read something like that. So you can interpret the Kashiwara-Verne, so the Kashiwara-Verne statement is something about two convolutions are equal, so it amounts to saying that two integrals are equal, and you prove that they're equal by finding a flow that on the one hand preserves the measure and on the other hand pulls one integral to the other. So I don't know. Having no imagination.
But here we have to prove that something is equal to zero.
It means that it will be a flow which, when taken to the limit, will flow to a degenerate configuration or something like that. Or, I don't know. I'm just sorry. Maybe I'm just being stupid.
You see, what basically, I said it already, but maybe I'll say it again, that I don't find this proof completely unnatural. That, there might be some much nicer and direct proof, but it's not entirely unnatural, because these things satisfy those Arnold's relations really on the nose as one finds. So these are some of the best things that we have there, the best one from that we possibly have there.
Yes.
And these things don't satisfy those relations, so these are difficult to work with.
Yes.
And so, basically, what's happening that those real parts of this are still are not showing up in, the, in those calculations in the end. So, say of that for lack of better better understanding or of some better arguments, we have to whatever conservation in the end resorted to basically to this stuff somehow at least.
Okay.
A bit secretly. So it's. I think it's not completely unnatural to consider those dilos of distances as those real parts of those of these forms. And but this is of course extremely metaphysical statement.
Well, okay, I guess. Okay, I guess it just gets added to the list of mysteries that we don't understand. Okay? So...
But I also must say that... Maybe this is the mysterious part of his deformation quantization procedure. Basically, it comes down basically to this one lemma, which was somewhat the mysterious part. The rest is kind of
no. The rest is kind of good because you got used to it, not because it's no. I'm not sure I agree, but again, this is a I'm not sure what to say. Okay. There is still other topics to talk about. We haven't run out of topics.
Okay.
One topic is, I don't think you've proven this. You've
stated this, but you
haven't proven it.
No, I didn't. Do you want to know how... I can tell you some... ideas of the proof.
Maybe not now, because we're all tired.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. The other is... I would actually like... I could tell you my worldview in which this does not fit.
Okay.
But...
That would be much better than me telling you a proof of that.
But I'm not sure... again, then we will be left with another mystery, which is how to reconcile the two worldviews.
I mean, the proof of this is relatively simple.
Yes, I think Wilwacher
told
us briefly, and it didn't look very complicated, but by now we forgot and misunderstood, and also I would like to reward the proof in a language that I'd understand better. So, I mean, I'm not sure...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyway. Then there is... and I could tell you stories. Somewhat related, somewhat not, I don't know. And, it occurred to me that... there is something very basic that I don't understand, and maybe it's... so basic that somebody here can enlighten me already. So APB, so the thing you call TN, has two interpretations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So one is it's somehow the associated graded of the pure grade group. And the other is that its dual, or not quite its dual, its quadratic dual, I think, is the homology of the configuration of space of n points. And frankly, I've never understood
But that's what valid, so just a rational homotopy theory?
So if you understand...
I mean, just the statement that this particle space is formal, this CN.
Yeah. Do you understand this?
I've always... those people who write books or even papers about rational homotopy theory always say that let's suppose that everything is simply connected and there is some smaller remark with one-point letter saying that it can be done sometimes for non-simply connected, and this is the case of non-simply connected. So that's why I'm not... I don't know the theorems
as well as I'd like to know.
But
the answer that somebody else understands it is not satisfying, because I want to understand it myself.
But modulo the fact that I have some lack of education when it comes to rational homotopy theory, especially in case of non-simply connected spaces, and modulo this fact, I think this is what we're probably in the paper of Kono, isn't it already there written somewhere? That
so you see, having a good conceptual understanding of this seems to be necessary, because, you know, I'm coming from here, you're coming from here. So if we are to understand each other, we have to have some good conceptual understanding of this.
Basically, I think probably the connection between these two is in the end this Knishing-Zahn logic of connection. Somehow the fastest way how to say this is probably this. And then you need to work with something. But because this Knishing-Zahn logic of connection is the tool how to show that those spaces are formal. Okay, it's been a long time since I had any impression that I understood some epsilon of this. So I would have to look at it again and try to recall what I've said.
Yeah, it's not clear that it's your job. It's just a question that I'm asking myself.
So I think that this was a general statement that if you have a... Yeah, I don't know the conditions, but basically, if there was a space that was k pi 1, I think.
And those configurations.
Yeah, so this configuration space is k pi 1 for phi being this.
Yes.
And now I don't remember whether it was automatically formal or there was still some condition, probably not. For, I know kind of nothing about topology. So there is still some condition, but which is in this case satisfied because of Knishing-Zahn logic of connection, just because of existence of this connection. But then there was, roughly speaking, relation of this type, more precisely saying that that if you take wedge of the dual of the or how is it the minimal model of cohomology, which is in this case just wedge of which is well, what you mean by this, you should be more specific about what you mean by that.
Yes.
That comes from a real algebra. It is just a sort of wedge of some real algebra dualized, and the real algebra is exactly the real algebra that you get from using this procedure. Like you start with a fundamental group, which is nilpotent that one needs to suppose, and then you pass to make this created something this construction, so you end up with some real algebra. So I think this is really a general statement somewhere in rational homotopy theory.
So possibly my only question is, yes. I don't understand this, so I mean, I wish I did.
I think the main content of what you've written there is the formality statement. Like, it's just that it is the fact that there is a formality.
So what's formality?
Now?
So, no, I mean, this was just a hint that you can try to ask somebody who understands an epsilon about rational homotopy theory.
And that's not you.
that's not me. For me, it's like epsilon divided by... For me, it's
like... Yeah, the problem is
where
do you find these people?
I don't know. Maybe in...
Denny Sullivan, I don't know.
Maybe in this department, I don't know. Just who knows rational homotopy theory. Well, Dan Sullivan is certainly the right choice.
Yeah.
Which is some very vague memory that maybe in that paper of Kono, where he is great, where he has this Kinji's ownership of connection and he does something. That he actually says something of this sort.
It's possible. I'm not denying.
I mean, it's not really that ANPB has two natural habitats a priori. It's that it has one natural habitat, and then you prove, or the statement of formality is that it is equivalent to something else, which does a different habitat.
Well.
How does this come up now, though? Like, is this...
Because what Pavel was telling us was... Or... all this work is all about the homology of configuration space. And not about the associated graded of pi 1 of configuration space. So somehow one has to make the relationship.
So, but this somehow purely algebraic statement, and the proof is also purely algebraic. So
yeah,
it's
combinatorial.
Yes.
But
there, one can say. We say there is a short proof that uses, say, some algebraic tools from rational homotopy theory, but only those algebraic tools, saying that a minimal model is unique or things like that. But never, there's never any topology really going on. It's only somehow the algebraic part of this rational homotopy theory that is used there. But then Thomas found some direct proof that's also some in the appendix of our paper.
Yes.
Because before I was thinking about just applying what are this uniqueness of minimum model, which gave this proof, which gave this statement.
I'm getting tired. So is probably everyone else. Should we meet another time? If we meet another time,
then it's you who speaks.
if
you don't mind.
If we meet another time, well, okay, either it's me who speaks, but then it's you who asks the questions.
Yes.
And it's
a
job, too.
Yeah, but I'd like to know about this something, this superscript W, maybe, with tills, and those rings passing through each other, and why is this
teacher?
Maybe, or if you...
I could tell you this story.
But if you prefer to tell me something else, I'm just... to learn anything.
No, I mean, that's a good story to tell.
I
could tell you the story from Cerny back again.
I have no idea what the story was.
But you see, that story might convince you that this is not the right somehow.
Okay.
That we really want to know. If we could understand this to any form as opposed to the volume form,
tell me this. Yes.
That would be that would tell you why it will be so beautiful. But I mean, that's
okay.
a. Or I could tell you, again, the W story, like where T there comes from my perspective. I have more questions than answers. Like, I'm more puzzled by the things I don't understand. And, but anyway, if you want to meet again, the options are tomorrow at 5, or the day after tomorrow at 6, or the day after tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Maybe I prefer morning, if you...
Oh, sorry, in fact, tomorrow at 9 a.m. is also an option, but...
But you wouldn't come.
No, let's make it tomorrow at 9. Wednesday at 9.
Wednesday at 9, okay.
But again, if I'm talking, you're asking the questions.
Yes.
Okay, good. So see you Wednesday at 9.
I'm turning off the thing.